Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
What a precious commodity oil is. If in the past we've tended to take it for granted, events in recent years have brought home to each one of us just how vital a commodity it really is. You could say it's the lifeblood of modern living. And in the dark days of the Second World War, oil was, if anything, even more precious. Carried in tankers which plowed their perilous way east across the Atlantic, oil was indispensable to the Allies. Without it, the war machine could not move. Tonight's story, which is based on fact, concerns one such oil tanker, the Sutherland Star. At Halifax, Nova Scotia, she joined 36 other merchant ships who were there to form a convoy for the hazardous Atlantic crossing. And the convoy's only escort was an armed merchant cruiser, the Verity. So, at the end of October 1940, the almost defenseless convoy set sail, with the 37 ships formed up in columns, and the Sutherland Star heading the 8th column. The first few days were uneventful, but on a grey, icy November afternoon, the situation changed, abruptly and drastically. I called my story The Obstinate Wreck.
Thompson, have you seen Second Officer Randall?
Yes, sir. He's over there by the rail. Port side.
Oh, yes, thanks. Yes, yes. Sorry to interrupt your reverie, but the old man wants a word with you. Nothing serious. So when you finish admiring the view...
Hold a minute, Frank. Hmm? Look, just on the horizon.
Something there, all right. It's still hazy.
As far as I know, there are none of our ships in the area.
Uh-huh. And whatever it is, it's coming in our direction. It's gradually taking shape. What's it look like to you?
Same as it looks like to you.
Yes.
And I don't think it's one of ours. It's a warship, Frank.
And all we've got is one armed merchant cruiser. What can the Verity do against that warship?
We'll soon see what the Verity can do. Look, red and green rockets going up to the flagship. The signal has scattered the convoy.
If only we had something to fight back with.
But we haven't. There's nothing we can do but scatter and make the target less easy for them.
They've hit us.
Come on, let's see what the damage is.
A shell from the German pocket battleship had torn into the Sutherland Star's forehold, and the damage was serious. But the ship managed to slip away out of range, as did most other ships of the convoy. And this was made possible by the valiant showing of the Verity. As soon as the attack had started, the armed merchant cruiser turned full speed towards the enemy in an attempt to draw her fire and let the convoy go free. And this is exactly what happened. All the might of the pocket battleship's guns were turned on the Verity, and although the merchant cruiser had no armor plating and only short-range 6-inch guns to defend herself, the battle raged relentlessly for over 3 hours. The Verity had been placed as the sole protector of the convoy, and protected she did, until finally, her decks ablaze and her guns silenced, she sank beneath the waves. A gallant captain and a gallant crew who sacrificed themselves and their ship so that the convoy might escape. But while the captain of the Verity had already made his decision, the captain of the Sutherland Star had yet to make his. And so he held a conference with his officers.
Gentlemen, I've called you here to discuss the position. You all know the extent of the damage.
Not too good, sir. But it could have been a lot worse. We're still afloat.
Yes. Still afloat, but crippled. And we're on our own. Now, we have a choice. We can turn around and head back to Nova Scotia and wait there to join another convoy, or we can go it alone. Head for England and take our chances. Mm. I'd like to hear your views. What do you think?
It's not that I have anything against Halifax, but I think it's a bit too soon for a return visit.
I second that. My choice is to head for home.
Yes.
Well, now, hold on, gentlemen. Don't rush to fences. I want you to take everything into account. It's not just a question of the damage to the ship or even running the gauntlet of U-boats. And that pocket battleship which attacked us and scattered the convoy, her captain will almost certainly deduce that some of us will try and make it to England.
Yes.
He'll be on the lookout. He'll try to intercept as many of us as he can and pop us off one by one.
Yes, sir. That's on the cards, all right.
Well, definitely on the cards, I'd say. Look, it's the obvious thing for him to do. Where the convoy is scattered, we're all sitting ducks. He's simply got to find us, that's all. Find us and sink us.
And we're completely defenseless, gentlemen. So, it's hide and seek, with the odds heavily in the enemy's favor.
All the more satisfying if we manage to pull it off.
Oh, yes.
Am I to take it your choice remains the same, gentlemen? To head for home?
Yes, sir, for home.
We can't scout back to Nova Scotia.
Thank you, gentlemen. It makes me feel easier in my mind to know that you agree with me. Now, I'm not going to start preaching any sermons. We're all aware that the oil we're carrying is a vital cargo, and the sooner we get it to England, the better. I think we've made the right decision. Harrison and his chaps are patching up what they can, which isn't very much. Most of them will have to wait until we reach port. It's pretty heavy sea, Ronnie.
Mm.
A little storm on the way, too, if I'm not mistaken.
We could do without that.
Night's as black as pitch, and that's something. The best screen of all is the dark. Gives us a chance to cover a reasonable distance.
Mm.
And with any luck, we should be able to... Star shells! Blast! They found us. So much for our night cover.
German pocket battleship had stalked its prey and fallen upon it out of the night. Relentlessly, the shells smashed into the superstructure of the oil tanker, and soon she was ablaze, the flames stabbing upwards into the tenebrous gloom. Miraculously, only three of the crew had been killed in the ferocious attack. The rest gained the comparative safety of the lifeboats. They were all aware that at any second the Sutherland Star could explode in a sheet of flame that would engulf everything in the near vicinity, and that their survival depended on getting clear of the stricken ship. And so, with a will, they pulled on the oars as the shelling continued. Three lifeboats were launched, but in the darkness they were soon separated from each other. Two of the boats were destined to drift for some time before the men were rescued and taken to safety. But rescued they eventually were, and all survived. The third boat had a very different destiny.
We can't keep control of her in the sea.
This is worse than swimming the blooming Atlantic. I'm soaked to the skin. All end up with pneumonia, we will.
It is a bit chilly, isn't it? While we're in the Pacific, we don't mind the sharks.
We'll try the Pacific next time. But this round we're stuck with the Atlantic, I'm afraid. Keep ahead into the wind.
Causing all the trouble. Oh,
that was a close one, eh?
Oh, without
it.
How we didn't capsize, I don't know.
How much more of this can we
take? As much as we have to. There's no alternative.
Hold her! Hold her!
Dawn's coming up. The wind's dropped a bit. Not enough. We can't take much more of this.
I know. Oh, it's rotten luck. We're all exhausted already, and we've hardly begun. Who knows how long we might have to drift before we picked up.
A couple of injured men on our hands, too. Yeah. Jumping into the boat, two of them were hurt. Right, chaps. Time to review our position. Now, I know Robinson and Brown were injured from the abandoned ship. What I want to know is, how badly?
Well, sir, Robinson is too good. Broke a few ribs, as far as we can judge. Don't know what else. He's passed out at the moment. And I reckon it's better to leave him that way. He'll awaken soon enough.
Right. What about yourself, Brown?
Oh, I'm all right, sir. A bit shaky. Just a few cuts and bruises. And the bleeding's stopped now.
Your face is pretty badly swollen. Looks as if you've been in a punch-up.
That wouldn't be anything new.
Watch it, mate.
See what I mean?
Are there any more casualties?
No.
I'm all right.
No, no, sir.
Good. Now, we're all cold and wet and weary, and I'm afraid there's nothing much we can do about it. It's all part of the joys of an open boat in mid-Atlantic in mid-November.
Cool, isn't it lovely?
All we can do is sit it out and wait to be picked up. It could take some time. We must be prepared for that. On the other hand, if our luck's in...
Oh, luck is in. Over there. Look. Over there is a ship.
Where?
Look at that, butcher. Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm sure he's right. We've got to get closer. Come on, lads. Let's row. We've never rowed before.
Oh, yes, come on.
There she is. But wait a minute. There's smoke coming from her. She's on fire.
Maybe it's another one of the convoy. Hope it's same as us.
No. No, it isn't another one of the convoy. Take a look at her. Take a good look at her. It's the Sutherland Star. It's our own ship.
It's our own ship.
Impossible. She was shelled to pieces. She should have been blown sky high.
Should have been, but she wasn't.
Oh, she's not much good to us. But nice to see her all of a sudden.
Here we are, freezing to blooming death. And look at all that heat up there.
Just remember the cargo caps. If that goes up, it's goodbye with the biggest bang you've ever heard.
Sir, you paid your money and you take your choice. Freezing to death or being blown to kingdom come.
The storm, which had abated a little, rose again, and as the exhausted men battled against the raging wind and the remorseless seas which crashed over the small lifeboat, they began to think of the alternative open to them. Soaked to the skin, with the cold chilling the very marrow of their bones, it seemed more than likely that they would soon die of exposure. If they reboarded the Sutherland Star, they would be protected against the elements. But with the chance of being blown up with the ship. For many hours they debated the question, till darkness fell again. And it was during the night that they made up their minds. If the Sutherland Star was still there in the morning, they would board her. But when morning came, the burning oil tanker was nowhere to be seen.
Too long making up our minds. She's gone. We've drifted away from her in the night.
Why didn't we board her yesterday? We had the chance.
Yeah, we should have done. Anything would be better than this.
Any lingering doubts I had have gone now. It's only when the chance is snatched from you that you know how much
You were depending on it.
How's Robinson?
Well, he's not saying much. Been quite a bit of pain. It
rises up from time to time,
which is just as well.
I wish I could.
Look, chaps, this is no picnic. It's all too easy to get despondent. But if we make up our minds that we're going to survive, we're halfway there. And this wind has
there
to blow itself out somewhere.
There she is! It's
what?
Her!
What are you talking about?
It's her, I tell you!
He's right! He's right! It's the Sutherland Star!
Over there! Over there!
Oh, wait a minute. It's difficult to tell, but I think she's drifting away from us.
Oh, no.
And now we're going to use this blasted wind.
Yes,
raise the sail! Right, we're going after her, and we're going to reboard the Sutherland Star! Oh, would you look at that deck? Buckled and twisted like I don't know what. Even in a nightmare, I couldn't imagine anything like this. What is it?
Hey, watch it, you lot. Some of the metal's white hot, so go carefully.
I've got a couple of your hands here. We're working on.
With all the men aboard, including the disabled Robinson, we set about the most immediate task, extinguishing the fires. But the only method available to them was the old laborious one of passing buckets down the line from hand to hand. Despite their exhaustion from all they had been through, they put their backs into the job, with danger spurring them on, until the last flame was quenched. It was only then they could take a good look at the battered ship and see the true extent of the damage. And the truth of the matter was that the Sutherland Star was now a floating wreck.
Now, as you're all aware, the old Sutherland Star had been bashed about a bit. She'd been gutted port, aft, and amidships. The navigation bridges destroyed, of course, and the radio and steering gear. To put it in a nutshell, what we have here is a twisted, mangled wreck of a hulk.
Yeah.
But, and it's a big but, she's still floating.
Yeah.
And what's more, I've no idea how it's happened, but she's still got most of her cargo. Now, there seems to be a consensus of opinion that we should sail her home.
That's right.
That sounds like a good idea, but just one question. How do we do it?
That's a good question, mate.
Well, if there's any way of doing it, I'm all for it.
Who isn't? But how do we manage it?
Well, it might seem impossible, but there's the fact that the ship itself is still afloat is impossible. So if we can accept one impossibility, we can accept another. And we do have one slice of good luck. In our party, we have the chief engineer. Where is he? Down in the engine room with a couple of helpers.
Well, just supposing he can get the engines going. How do we steer the ruddy ship?
There's auxiliary steering gear arms. And we're going to see what we can devise out of that. In the meantime, we've got to plug all the holes we can with wood, cotton waste, whatever comes to hand.
When you think about it, we have to sail her home, unless we sit here till Jerry comes and drops a few more shells on us.
Well, that's true. At least it's worth a try.
I can't lose anything by it, I suppose.
Come on, then. Let's start plugging up those holes.
It's fantastic. They've repaired the generator.
Don't ask me how. Pea-string and sealing wax for all I know, but they've got it working. And they're pumping the water out of the engine room.
Great. And we've worked out a reasonably viable system with the auxiliary steering gear. So now it all depends on the chief, whether he can get those engines turning.
Well, if anyone can do it, he can. What about signals from the deck to the engine room?
Now, that little problem's being worked on. The best suggestion so far is that we use a series of lights. We'll use them to a code. Very simple, but it should work. Well, everything seems to be progressing nicely. Just keep our fingers crossed.
Mine have been jammed together since we first abandoned ship.
There's so much tension aboard, you can hear it crackle like electricity.
Pity we couldn't harness it.
What? As an extra reserve of power? Don't worry, we won't need it. The chief will get those engines going.
Yeah.
And don't forget, chaps, he's only testing them. If nothing happens right away, we mustn't be too disappointed.
Yeah, we shouldn't be, but we will.
If they don't work this time, he won't give up till they do.
I know. He's got to get them working, and he will, eventually. It's just that, knowing this is the first test, well, we can't help but... Hear that? They're working. The engines are working.
The chief engineer didn't fail them, and no sound was ever sweeter to the men's ears than the throb of the ship's engines. Soon they were on their way, plowing the Atlantic on a ship held together by ingenuity and faith. They had no charts, no compass, no proper steering gear, and they were sailing in midwinter. Battered by storms and angry seas, they accomplished a feat which earned its own special place in the heroic history of the sea. For the Sutherland Star stayed the course and proudly sailed up the River Clyde to deliver its precious cargo. A superb example of what can be achieved by courage and determination. The stubborn refusal to admit defeat.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.